This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you, Randy, and good morning. Taking a look at your grain futures from the Chicago Board of Trade from Wednesday's close. Corn for July finished lower to 441, down 8 and 3 quarters. September corn was to 446 and a quarter, down 9 and a quarter. And December corn finished at 453 and a quarter, down 9 and 3 quarters. Soybeans for July were to 903 and a quarter, down 10 and a quarter. August beans were to 909 and a half, down 10 and 3 quarters. And September soybeans were to 916, down 11 and a quarter. Chicago wheat for July was lower, down to 522 and a quarter, down 9 and a quarter. September wheat was to 526 and 3 quarters, down 8 and 3 quarters. And December wheat was to 536, down 10 and 3 quarters. Soybean meal for July was lower, down to 316.90, down 5.10. August bean meal was to 318.20, down 5.30. And September bean meal yesterday was to 319.80, down 5.50. Finally, soybean oil for July was to 28.37, up 4. August bean oil was to 28.50, up 3. And September bean oil was to 28.61, also up 3 cents. Now we'll take you to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Wednesday's Cash Grain Report.
This is Wednesday's reported grain price and trend prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices closed lower on Wednesday afternoon without any fresh fundamental news to push the markets higher, especially with the warmer, drier forecast. In northern western Illinois country, grain yields quoted shelf corn bids 8 to 9 cents lower at 339 to 431. Soybeans closed down 10 cents at 824 to 866. In central Illinois country, grain yields quoted shell corn bids 8 to 11 lower at 415 to 441. Soybeans were down 10 to 11 at 845 to 888. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were 8 to 9 lower at 410 to 461. Soybeans were down 10 cents at 853 to 893. And wheat bids were 9 to 10 lower at 502 to 541. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 10 cents lower at 882 to 908. Basis is unchanged at 21 under to 5 over the July. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis offered at 306.90 to 324.90. Down 5.10 a ton with basis unchanged at 10 under to 8 over the July. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were up 7 to 9 cents at 441 to 457. With basis steadied up 2 at option to 16 over the July. Illinois River Barge loading elevators coated to producer corn bids 9 to 11 cents lower at 425 to 444, with basis unchanged to down 2 at 16 under to 3 over the July. Soybeans ended down 10 to 14 cents at 879 to 883, with basis steady to down 4 at 24 under to 20 under the July. New crop wheat prices are down 9 cents at 507 to 522, with basis unchanged to 15 under to option to July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal obvious place their producer corn bids 9 to 12 lower at 456 to 459. These elevators lowered their soybean prices 10 to 12 cents. Quotations at 908 to 909. Soft wheat closed down 10 cents at 557 to 558. Milo ended the day 9 cents lower at 465 to 466. Contract bids producers for October and November delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 405 to 429. Soybeans at 849 to 875. In the central part of the state, corn for October, November delivery at 421 to 434. Soybeans at 865 to 899. And in the southern part of the state, corn for October, November delivery at 408 to 449. Soybeans at 863 to 892. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Taking a look at your livestock futures from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, live cattle for June finished lower to 108.50, down 95. August live cattle were to 104.55, down a dollar. And October live cattle were to 106.10, down 95. Feeder cattle for August were to 136.52, down 72. September feeders finished at 137 even, down 60. And October feeders were to 137.42, down 27. Lean hogs for July were higher to 81.62, up 15. August lean hogs were to $83 even, up $1.30. And October lean hogs were to $77.45, up 85. Now we'll take you to the Illinois Department of Agriculture one more time this morning for yesterday's cash livestock report.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Wednesday afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations are 200-pound pork carcass traded 79 cents higher. In a range 67 to 78.50 with a weighted average carcass price of 76.49. From the Illinois Direct Sow Port, slaughter sow prices were steady with light to moderate demand for moderate to heavy offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded 24 to 30, 4 to 5 weighted 26 to 33, 5 to 6 weighted 28 to 36, and over 600 pounds 30 to $38. In the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, prices for barrels and gilts, country buying points were steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings range from $47 to $51. Receipts for Illinois barrels and gilts have totaled $18,300. In the direct cattle trade, in the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, choice steers and live basis traded at $110 to $115. On address basis at $180 to $184. Choice heifers and live basis traded at $110 to $114.75. On address basis at $181 to $184. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 354 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $77.69, which is $3.46 lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Port, values for choice and select beef carcasses are trading higher. Choice carcasses are $221.59, which is $1.06 higher, while select carcasses are $202.24, which is 44 cents higher. Per the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated 121,000 compared to 121,000 last week and 118,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 479,000 compared to 478,000 last week and 437,000 one year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And taking a look at your national ag news for this Thursday morning, the Federal Reserve Bank left the benchmark interest rate unchanged following a Wednesday meeting, but amid economic uncertainty signaled that future cuts could be warranted. During a news conference following the meeting, Fed Chairman Jerome Powell stated that due to uncertainties in the economic outlook, the committee will closely monitor the economy and act as appropriate to sustain the system. The central bank left the target range for the federal funds rate at 2.25 to 2.5%. Worrisome factors include the uncertainty in trade with China as well as others, as the Trump administration works through crafting and implementing new trade agreements. President Trump has previously argued that the Fed should cut rates, even considering removing Powell from his position, which Trump nominated him for. Trade could improve, however, lessening the worry as hopes are growing Trump and China's president can resume negotiations next month, starting with a meeting at the G20 summit. Unchanged or lower interest rates may reduce worry in farm country regarding the depressed farm economy as well. In a recent report from the Agriculture Department, it shows full implementation of rural broadband could increase farm and ranch production. Michael Clemens has more from Washington.
USDA's report, A Case for Rural Broadband, highlights the benefits full deployment of broadband offers to agriculture. Megan Nelson, American Farm Bureau Federation economic analyst, says the report shows policymakers the importance of fully implementing rural broadband.
This is showing an approximate 18% of total production could be added to the agriculture sector if these technologies were meeting producer demand. However, an important thing to realize, too, is that these estimations are illustrating more for policymakers and educating them on some of these amazing technologies that are helping producers today.
Nelson says the livestock sector holds the biggest potential economic gain from full implementation of rural broadband.
Livestock and dairies stand to benefit the most with about $20.7 billion added annually to this sector. Row crops stands to benefit about $13.7 billion annually. locally. This is mainly in yield improvement and reduced cost by limiting the number of inputs put on the fields.
Nelson says the report also provides a plan for moving forward.
This is something that the administration has talked about. It's definitely on a lot of people's minds. Probably the most important part of this USDA report is their strategic action plan. They're outlining some of the key priorities, which is full broadband deployment, in addition to creating an environment for these innovations to be created.
Michael Clements, Washington.
In other national ag news on this Thursday morning, agriculture groups, including the National Corn Growers Association, are celebrating this week as National Pollinator Week. 12 years ago, the U.S. Senate approved the designation of a week in June as National Pollinator Week. NCGA is working cooperatively with numerous groups like the Honeybee Health Coalition, Farmers for Monarchs, and the Environmental Defense Fund to expand pollinator awareness through education. NCGA also has tools available to assist in identifying and implementing pro-pollinator best management practices. NCGA urges farmers to be proactive by being more aware of bees and getting to know local beekeepers. Proactive communication between growers, applicators, and beekeepers is essential to protect honeybees from unintended pesticide exposure. Meanwhile, Syngenta is using the week to bring awareness to efforts to continuously improve pesticide product stewardship and how stewardship can protect pollinators. When it comes to seed treatments and pesticides, Syngenta says the importance of observing best management practices, including reading and following the product label, cannot be overstated, especially for pollinator protection. Moving on to local news, with a dry window in the last 2 weeks, a lot of crops have been planted in the local area. With this last bit of rain, however, I was able to go out and catch a few farmers for some on-farm updates in Bond and Madison counties. In today's on-farm update, I spoke with Rob Worden of Prairie Town.
We right here in Prairie Town have been a little bit fortunate. It's gone north and south of us. Some of the reports I know up your way have been a couple inches. We had 9/10 in the gauge here in the last, over this last period of rain that we had. Had a nice little window there that thankfully the weatherman was wrong. He was predicting 4+ inches, and we didn't get maybe 4/10, but be able to get the crop in the ground. We finished up, Bobby and I did on Friday, kind of trying to transition into the next generation with my son Bobby, and he was planting some beans this year. And it's a learning curve. It's hard for me as a dad to sit back and turn over some of that high-priced equipment to the next generation. But if we don't show them and teach them how, they're not going to learn. So that's what we've been doing. He's been doing a lot of seed hauling for me. It's nice that he's got his license now. So we've been able to send him over, and I'd send him to Seavers to get some parts fixed. And It's been kind of fun and enjoyable. It was a very late planting window we had, and it seemed like we'd have to stop every once in a while for baseball, and that cut into some of the dry days too. But we finally got it in last Friday about 10:30 at night, and most of it's up. The rain that we did get was just about perfect for keeping that soil nice and soft so that the seeds could pop out through the ground.
And again, that was Rob Worden of Rural Prairie Town. And taking a look at events coming up this week, the 34th annual Montgomery County Fair started yesterday with the Goat and Sheep Show. And we'll take a look at the results from yesterday right now. First place for the Hampshire Market Lamb went to Ethan Nodal of Fillmore, and best for show of the Hampshire breed also went to Nodal. First place for the Shropshire Market Lamb went to Ethan Nodal, and best of show for the Shropshire breed also went to Nodal. First place Yearling Ewe went to Jenna McHenry of Petersburg, and second place went to Tucker Withers, also of Petersburg. First place Ewe Lamb went to Tucker Withers of Petersburg, and second place Ewe Lamb went to Jenna McHenry of Petersburg. First place Ram Lamb went to Jenna McHenry of Petersburg, and second place Ram Lamb went to Tucker Withers of Petersburg. And best of show in the sheep division yesterday went to Jenna McHenry of Petersburg, and the grand champion sheep went to Ethan Nodal of Fillmore. Taking a look at the goat results, starting in the junior doe under 5 months old division, first place went to Caden Brown of Hillsboro, second was Mason Fricky of Chapin, third place went to Nathan Brown of Hillsboro in the junior doe under 5 months, fourth place went to Wesley Stockstill of Butler, and fifth place went to Bailey Dorsey of Highland. In the junior doe from 5 to 12 months old division, first place was Mason Fricky of Chapin, and second place went to Bailey Dorsey of Highland. In the senior doe division, first place was Mason Fricky of Chapin, second place was Nathan Brown of Hillsboro, third and fourth place went to Wesley Stockstill of Butler, and fifth place went to Caden Brown of Hillsboro. In the mother with offspring under 5 months division, first place was Nathan Brown of Hillsboro, second was Mason Fricky of Chapin, third was Cody Dorsey of Highland, fourth was Caden Brown of Hillsboro, and fifth was also Caden Brown of Hillsboro. In the junior buck under 5 months old division, first place was Wesley Stockstill of Butler, second was Nathan Brown of Hillsboro, third was Mason Fricky of Chapin, fourth Cody Dorsey of Highland, and fifth was Bailey Dorsey of Highland. First place junior buck from 5 to 12 months went to Wesley Stockstill of Butler, first place senior buck went to Mason Fricky of Chapin, the champion meat goat was Wesley Stockstill of Butler, and the grand champion goat went to Mason Fricky of Chapin. Taking a look at more goat results in the January Weathers division, first place was to Mason Fricky of Chapin, followed by Bailey Dorsey of Highland, who placed second, and third place in the January Weathers was Wesley Stockstill of Butler. First place in February Weathers was Wesley Stockstill of Butler. And in the March Weathers, first place went to Mason Fricky of Chapin, second place went to Wesley Stockstill of Butler. The grand champion Weather went to Mason Fricky of Chapin. In the Dairy Goats division, in the junior doe under 5 months old, first place went to Catherine Kreiner of Coffeen, and second place went to Hope Tilton of Washville. In the first place junior doe from 5 to 12 months went to Hope Tilton of Washville. The first place senior doe went to Catherine Kreiner of Coffeen. The first place junior buck under 5 months went to Zoe Tilton of Washville. And the champion dairy goat went to Catherine Kreiner of Coffeen. Going on today at the 2019 Montgomery County Fair, beginning at 9 a.m. is the Beef Show in the 4-H Park. And this evening is the karaoke contest at 7. That's free with your $5 gate admission. Friday morning will be the Swine Show at 9 a.m. in the 4-H Park, and that'll be followed by the motocross and quad racing in the grandstands at this year's 34th annual Montgomery County Fair. And for this Thursday morning, June 20th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.